I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight, author of How to Fight Presidents, and currently a hatist, inexplicably still sick boy, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello or read me my last rites.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I have no interest in reading Daniel's last rites because you're not dying, Dan. You're not dying.
But Soren, it's raining today.
Tell me the symptoms.
It's raining today, and I'm sick. And Spotify Wrapped came out today, and I couldn't figure it out.
Are you... Okay, these are not related things. an ancient Chinese proverb, Dan, says that the rain, the sound of the rain on your roof is not the sadness of a weeping sky, but the grief of he who listens.
So, I don't understand.
Think about that.
No.
The gray sky has nothing to do with anything. A gray sky is just a gray sky. It's just you choosing to think that that's a bad thing.
Is this what you're like when your kids are sick too? When they're like, can I have some
soup? Yeah, I'm pretty tolerable.
Can I have some soup? And then you just like feed them homework?
I'm a really shitty parent when it comes to being sick. I'm like truly... I'm truly not comforting at all. And it drives my wife crazy, not only because I'm that with the kids, but I'm that way with her too.
Sure.
Where like she's sick and like I'll come into a room. She's got like a humidifier going and she's not feeling well. And I'll be like, are you feeling any better yet? She's like, wait, why would you ask it that way? Why is the yet at the end of that? I'm like, I don't know. I'm checking on you. That's not checking on me.
Thanks to Raycon for supporting Quick Question. With Raycons, you get the same quality audio as other premium audio brands, but at half the price. Right now, go to buyraycon.com/QQ to get 15% off site-wide with code HOLIDAY, plus free shipping.
Thanks to Shopify for supporting Quick Question. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big business. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/QQ.
It is really tough dealing with a sick person when you're very healthy because they're just boring. They're not any fun. Mm-hmm. And like, I'll be texting someone when they're sick and like, hey, are you feeling any better? No, still sick. All right, well, fuck you then.
My kids do get a lot sweeter. My son does particularly. My son is like a lot, he says a lot more please and thank yous. And he needs more things, but he's also like way just nicer in a way.
Yeah.
And also he's not doing bits. And he's 7, so... He's at an age where like he wants to do jokes. He wants to do like things that are funny, like, hey, watch this. I'm going to fall off the couch and pretend I'm dead kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he's not any good at any of it yet. It's all really clumsy and bad. And so it's just a lot of just like tolerating stuff that's not working yet.
Yeah.
His tight 15 isn't like quite set yet.
I think the other thing about sick, it's tough when kids are sick because they don't really understand it as well as adults do, obviously. So like when I'm sick, I'm just going to just decide to be sick and ride it out for as long as I can. But when my nephews or nieces are sick, you could see that like they still want to play and be happy. And you could see like some flash of recognition in their face where they're having a good time. And then you could see their face change when like they run a little bit warmer or their body finds some other creative way to remind them that they're still sick. And it's just like, no, I don't understand. I'm having a good time.
I know. They're just so blown away by the expectorate, particularly the snot and stuff. Where like my son's just getting, I can hear him getting angry in the bathroom and yelling at his nose and going, I just blew you. Like, and it was full again. And he was so mad. And At least I hope that's what was happening.
We'll be right back.
Then they also, you have to be careful when you give them Motrin or you give them Tylenol, because if you give it to them in the middle of the day, then their fever will drop, but it keeps them. Then they're like, I'm better. And they want to do stuff. Like they want to jump around and be active, and you don't want it. You want them just relax. And like a fever in one way is like really helpful because it makes them calm the fuck down. It just like their body needs to just shut down for a little bit, and they're miserable during it. But at least like the fever is keeping them pinned to a bed or a couch.
Yeah.
That's speaking on behalf of my children right now who are sick.
Oh, good. Yeah.
We've just got one thing after another this season, just because I think part of it is they came out of COVID after being very careful and their immune systems have atrophied. And so they're like getting everything at once. But it's when you have two kids who are sick at once and then you and your wife are kind of like on the brink, like you can start to feel the scratchy throat. It's just, it's you're just in the trenches, man. It's bad.
Yeah. I feel like I've been either sick with the same thing for an entire month, or I just keep getting sick again with a different thing. It's always felt like a cold, and I really a few days ago thought I was like completely out of the woods. It was truly just like my voice had come back, my everything had come back, and then these last 2 days again, it was really bad. And I had I'm gonna be vulnerable here on this podcast because I've got a trip tomorrow. I've got my vacation. My flight takes off in listeners a few hours. And when I first started getting sick again Monday, whatever day it was, and a friend of mine that I had just saw recently, they tested positive for COVID, for the awful COVID. Yeah. And I was like, fuck. I have to take a COVID test because I think I still have the same cold that I've had this whole time, but there is a chance that it's COVID. And like, I'm more than a little ashamed to admit that briefly I was like, or I don't take a COVID test. Because if I don't take it and I don't know that I have COVID, then I'm not an asshole if I get on that plane and fly with it. But I took a test and I the test was negative. And then I even took a second one. I took a second, more serious COVID test. But like, I took it. It was one of the ones that takes 30 minutes. So I took it and then I left my house. I just like had to like go for a drive by myself. Very much like, if this is, this might be the last 30 minutes where I don't have COVID. And so let me just like be out in the world for a little bit longer, even if it's still just me. And then I got back and that test was also negative, thankfully. It's just a 30-day cold or whatever the fuck new thing I have instead. But it was really like, I did have to, I was confronted with like doing moral calculus in my brain as I was driving. Just like, if this is positive, am I just going to cancel this trip? I guess I just do that. I guess I cancel this trip. I cancel the hotel because there's no world in which I go to my vacation and then, oops, I tested positive here on this island. Like there's a paper trail now that people would know. And like worse than that, I would know that I knowingly got on a plane with COVID. And so I wouldn't be able to do anything except cancel this trip. And I really didn't want to.
Yeah. I think that in theory, like having secret COVID, it would be like, oh, it'd be easy. All I'm doing is I'm like, if I just wear this mask the whole time, I can get there. And then I'm like in my hotel room. Everybody's fine.
Yeah.
But in like actually the logistics of it, I think that the entire time it would haunt you. Like anytime that you like is sitting in airport, where for whatever reason you like need your phone to see your face so you can get into it, and you just pull your mask away for a second, you'd be like,
yeah,
well, shit. That anyone who's near me, I think I may have just gotten sick. Or the maids, the hotel staff that like have to come into your room, you're like, at every single turn, I think you'd be like, fuck, I fucked up, I shouldn't have done this.
Yeah.
But That's good to hear that you're negative.
Yeah, yeah, and also like the narrative, again, the narrative would have gotten away from me where if I just tried to do the thing where like, let me just wear 3 masks and get on the plane. And then if I have to quarantine, I will quarantine in a nice hotel on an island and I'll keep to myself, which was most of the plan anyway. But if I did have COVID and I did this shitty thing and flew and decided to quarantine there, if things took a turn for the worse and my COVID got really, really bad, then then I'm out, because then I would be calling home and they'd be like, where'd you get COVID? Do you think it was the plane? Yeah, it was probably the plane. Oh, that's crazy. Didn't 3 of your friends from Friendsgiving also get COVID this week? Yeah, that's nuts. That's real nuts. I don't know what happened there.
Independent thing is crazy. I told you when I got COVID that I struggled with some with a moral choice and went the other direction with it. Although I guess mine was less as big. But I found out I had COVID and then waited a whole day before telling other people that I had been on a trip with.
That's right.
Before telling them, because I didn't want to be the first.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be patient zero. And then nobody else got it. And I was like, well, all right, I got to tell them now. And nobody else got it. Not even my family got it.
That's good. I feel like I'm going to sit here and like attempt to rack up some good guy points from our audience. Be like, listen, I took the test twice. I gave myself 2 opportunities to
and
maybe
one was a serious one, you said.
Yeah.
One was a serious one.
Yeah.
The other one was like a silly one.
Yeah. Yeah. I spit into a paper plate and I like hold it vertically
pushed
to
it
see
around
how
the toothpick.
See, yeah, just to see like the legs on the spit, really, and then make my best guess.
Okay, yeah, not viscous. This is fine. I'm fine.
And I do know fully well that I made the right choice in getting tested, and that I would have been willing to cancel my vacation. But I also know that our listeners are also thinking, yeah, but you have something. You're bringing something onto the plane. And like, yeah, listen.
Shut
up. Yeah.
You don't understand. We used to do this every time we flew. Everybody was sick all the time. It was just the way we lived. Well, tell your friends from Friendsgiving, Dan, that they need to get actual like PCR tests so that they are on the record and that they're in the system, because I've now heard horror stories about people getting long COVID. They tested themselves and just isolated. And then there's no record in the medical industry that they ever had COVID. So the insurance company's like, are you sure you had it? I think you're just having like, this is something completely different. You got fibromyalgia now for no reason.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Jingle, 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 jingle. That's the sound of bells, because we're coming up on the holidays. Happiest season, right? Let's be real. Between hectic holiday travel, stressing over getting that family recipe just right, and dealing with the uncle's politics that are just wrong, the last thing you want to worry about is finding a great gift for everyone on your list. So in the spirit of giving, I'm sharing my go-to gift idea, premium audio products from Raycon. We're teaming up with Raycon. Right now, go to buyraycon.com/QQ to get 15% off site-wide with code HOLIDAY, plus you'll get free shipping. Here's a fun fact about me. I use Raycon's wireless earbuds. I use them when I go for my runs, because I did have the other ones, the other brand in the past, and I no longer have a taste for them. So I use Raycons, and they're great, baby. They have, one of my favorite things about them is that when they arrived, there were different options for ear size and shape. They have little smaller buds or larger ones. You can pop them out and see which ones fit your specific ear holes the best. Raycon's wireless earbuds, headphones, and speakers offer premium sound, useful features, an almost custom comfortable fit, and up to 54 hours of battery life. Anyone you gift them to will find a use for them right away, whether they use the speakers to start a party in the living room or escape the party completely and use the earbuds for some much-needed Zen meditation. And as the person gifting them, you've got to love that they start at half the price of other premium audio brands. Plus, they make it easy with holiday gift guides for everyone in your life. I got some Raycons as a gift for someone I can't say because they listen to this podcast and I don't want to spoil it, but it's Soren. And for the next month, Raycon will have a countdown to Christmas with a new pop-up flash deal for you to take advantage of every single day. You can find Raycon in stores now like Kohl's or Walmart, but let me tell you right now, You're always going to get the best deal when you use my special link, buyraycon.com/QQ. The Raycon website also offers buy now, pay later options. I've already talked about my personal experience with Raycons. I use them when I run. I use them at the gym. I use them when I walk my dog, Jackson. My earbuds, my Raycon earbuds, they're in my ears all the time. My favorite thing about them is, for mine, there are three different settings for how you want to hear the music. And one of them is a setting that boosts the bass. And as a bass player, you guys all know I'm a bass player. I love that kind of stuff. I love listening to bass first music with a bass boost with my Raycon earbuds. Right now, go to buyraycon.com/QQ to get 15% off site-wide with code HOLIDAY plus free shipping. That's code HOLIDAY at buyraycon.com/QQ for 15% off your Raycon purchase. buyraycon.com/QQ.
Well, yeah, so I told you, I think we recorded when my kids had hay and foot and mouth disease.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I told you about that. Well, now my daughter is on amoxicillin for an entirely different thing. Amoxicillin is a, what do you call it?
A type
what's
of
penicillin.
Chimp.
what's penicillin? It's a,
bacteria. No.
Yeah. Mold? It's four bacteria, but it's got like that type of medicine. What is it called? Anyway, my daughter's on amoxicillin. She has had a bad cough. That was like gasping cough. Mm. And then it started to go away, just like yours. And then all of a sudden it just came back out of nowhere. And she started to get a fever again. And we're like, oh, fuck. So we took her in. And they're like, all right, well, her lungs sound fine. And her throat looks good. Dush looks like she has an ear infection. So it's probably that. And I was like, would that cause all that coughing and mucus? And they're like, I don't know. I was like, okay, then amoxicillin it is. And now she's feeling much better. So we're on to the next one. Whatever the next hit is, we're going to get that one. RSV, we're thinking. We've taken a few looks at it, seen that looks
okay,
like a good
so,
one.
Okay, so yeah, you did some early scouting?
Yeah, it looks like RSV. As far as like this season, like this is the one to get it. There's everyone's like trying to get this.
Yeah.
Everyone's out there in the streets like, this is the one.
Yeah. My brother, man, he got right in on the ground floor with that one months ago.
Oh, so smart. God, I should have been on it a little quicker because it's just, you can't find it anywhere anymore.
No.
Yeah. And then somehow these childhood sicknesses, these things that affect only young children, my wife and I have mostly avoided. Like we've felt a little tickle and stuff like that, but we're testing throughout the whole thing because every single time somebody gets sick in our house, we're like, God damn it. Like the kids can't go to school if they've got it. And there's like all these, it's just this big ripple effect if somebody in the house has COVID. And so we're just testing and testing. And so far it's been fine, although it really, fine is conditional because I'm putting these nasal swabs in my 2-year-old's nose and she doesn't understand why I'm torturing her every day.
Yeah. Well, you know, eventually that might just be a thing that we do to our kids forever. I don't know.
I know. I was a real demoralizing day that I had to get my son new masks because he outgrew his old ones.
Yeah. Oh, that is sad.
I was like, oh, we are deep in this.
But I was also, as I was doing the moral calculus for this, potential COVID flight situation, there a shittier part of me was thinking, well, if I do have COVID, like, how long are we going to do this? COVID's never going to go away. Is COVID right. The one thing that we're going to test ourselves for before flights forever? Or at some point, are they just going to say, you don't worry about it?
I think as long as it's inundating hospitals, it's still an issue. But as soon as it's not anymore, then I think people are going to treat it like that. People are just going to be like, oh, you got COVID?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get back to work.
Yeah.
But that day is not here yet.
No.
Well, I'm glad you don't have it. Although I will say this reprieve that I've had where I'm bulletproof, basically, or I'm an invincible human the past few months has been just awesome.
I know. That is such a silver lining. I know how it's going to feel the first day that I don't have a single symptom again. I know historically how great that feels, and it's going to be awesome, and maybe I'll be the luckiest cat in the world, and it'll happen smack dab in the middle of my vacation, and I'll just be surrounded and full of joy.
Do you know anyone where you're going, or are you going alone?
I'm going alone.
This is a thing you do regularly. I think that's okay to reveal on this podcast. You go on a lot of vacations alone.
I do. And I like it a lot. I think I've come around to preferring to have a travel buddy when I'm doing one of like Costa Rica was really happy to have a partner there because we just like did a bunch of excursions and kept ourselves safe. This is an island vacation. This is like you can snorkel, you can fish, but there's not really like hiking to be found. There's not like big exciting adventure stuff, and there's barely any things to look at. It's really just like be on the white beach, look at the clear water, sit and read and relax. And that's like, yeah, I'll spend 4 days just doing that by myself, which is like a full relaxing vacation, which is not typically the kind of trip that I take.
No. Do you find that on the normal trips that you take where you're like ziplining or you're going snorkeling and stuff, and you're on a boat with a bunch of people that are couples and stuff, that people are distrustful of you because you're on vacation alone?
I think I've gotten more sad looks than distrustful looks. I think that's I distinctly remember being in Hawaii on a sunset cruise that turned out to be a couples cruise that people didn't understand. And then at one point one of the staffers asked if he wanted me to take my picture.
Oh, Jesus.
Like at the end of the boat where couples were posing at sunset. And I was like, no, God. It's bad enough that I have to kill everyone on this ship.
Yeah, because even on a much smaller scale, when I dine alone, by the way, a thing that you also do, and I love, like mm-hmm. eating alone, going to the movies alone, these are all like great things.
Hell yeah.
I think that's you're okay with that.
Yeah.
But when I eat alone, the wait staff does not understand. They're like coming back and they're like, so are you expecting someone else? I'm like, no, it's just me.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay. And then like you'll see them go to talk to somebody else and they're like trying to suss out the narrative of how this happened.
Yeah, it's like it's the first time they've ever had to do this math before, where it's like, hey, our two person tables, they work for one also, right? There's not a balance issue. Yeah. That I'm not thinking about.
Now this silverware was out on the table. Should I collect it and wash it again? How is that going to work?
They do. I've found they get a little bit grumpier if you're eating dinner for one and you waive the option to sit at the bar. It's like no, I don't want to sit at the bar. I want a table at a restaurant. They really prefer it if you sit at the bar because that makes more sense to everybody.
Yeah, that's
too bad.
I don't want to. I want to sit. In fact, I want to sit in a booth now. I'm digging my feet in. Hey, can we talk about notifications for a second? Who actually leaves the sound on any of their devices anymore? Cha-ching! Well, besides that kind of sound, that's another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. I can't get enough of that sound. Cha-ching! Hey, one of the hardest things when you start a business is knowing exactly what you're doing at any given moment. It's terrifying because there's all kinds of new rules and things that you don't understand and a whole new glossary of terms you need to learn. Well, thanks to Shopify, they have 24/7 support and free libraries full of educational content. Shopify's got you every step of the way when you are building your own business. It's like having someone to hold your hand who says, yes, this is important. No, that's not important. Don't listen to them. That's somebody trying to scam you and just sending you mail asking for money for your business. Yes, you do need to do minutes for your business. That's important. That's the kind of work you get from Shopify. Shopify makes it simple to sell to anyone from anywhere, whether your thing is vintage tees or recipes for ghee. Start selling with Shopify and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of your favorite businesses worldwide. With Shopify, you'll create an online store in your vibe, discover new customers, and grow the following that keeps them coming back. Shopify has all the sales channels sorted, so your business just keeps growing from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. I don't know what all of that means, but if you're starting your own business, I hope you do. And if you don't, that's fine because there's also 24/7 support and free libraries full of educational content. Shopify has got you. It's how every minute new sellers around the world make their first sale with Shopify. And you will too, unless you've already made your first sale. Assume that whatever sale is next for you, that's the one I'm talking about.
This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Now listen, connoisseurs of the show will know that I've always had the dream from a young age, from a little boy growing up on the back of a burrow in my tiny little hovel village, to one day make a burrito with glue so that your burrito doesn't just come flying open every time you wrap it and try to eat it and you put it back down your plate and it's no longer in your hands. I just want a really edible sealant that will keep my burrito shut so that I can put it down when I need to and drink my soda. Okay. I'm a tiny man with a tiny dream, but I want to grow this business. Well, that's a dream business that I've had for a very long time. And Shopify could be a factor to help encourage me to step up and start it, making my idea into a real, it can do that for you too. Making your idea real opens endless possibilities. I love how Shopify makes it easy for anyone to successfully run their own business. And now it's never been easier to start and grow a business thanks to Shopify. Go on, try Shopify for free and start selling anywhere. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/QQ. Go to shopify.com/QQ to start selling online today. Shopify.com/QQ. Well, Dan, I have a quick question for you if you want to start the show.
Yeah, let's start the show.
Okay. Well, it's almost the holidays. And around this time of year, I think a lot about the holidays because I love them. And I love like the games that you play. That's what maybe one of my favorite things about the holidays is that, yeah, you're getting together with family and everything, but there's those nights where kids have gone to bed and everybody's like, let's play something. Let's do like a fun thing. And I wanted to ask you a question, Dan. Oh, what is a party game that you're just like way too good at that it's not even fun to play with you anymore? Like you can't possibly play it with other people because you've advanced to the level where it's not fun for them and it's not fun for you. And I'll go first with this.
Great. Because mine is football. Thanksgiving just happened and I'm just too dominant. Flag, touch, it. Full tackle, doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm flexible.
Wow, wearing shoulder pads, Dan. Okay, all right, let's play. There's a game called Secret Hitler. And there's another one that's a similar game called Resistance. There's a few in this genre where it's kind of like Among Us, just more convoluted, where you're trying to suss out who the bad guy is. And in this game, in the case of Secret Hitler, there are usually like 3 to 5 bad guys. And there's a lot of just talking among everybody and like trying to catch somebody in a lie and making accusations like you're in the witch trials and somebody else being like, defend yourself. And the other person has to like make a speech about why they're not it. Now I've played these games so much. The first one I played was Resistance. I think you and Michael and I, and maybe Brendan went to a tabletop board game convention at one point, and I found this game and fell in love with it. You can play it with strangers. You can play it with friends. And Secret Hitler is very similar. And I've played it at work a bunch, and at work, everybody is so varsity at it. Because they played it a lot. And then also because they're just storytellers. I mean, they're good at lying. They're good at making shit up. And they're good at making things sound cohesive and like wrapping up everything that you've said or done up until that point. And I've gotten so, so good at it that I take it home and I try and play it with other people. And when they're brand new to it, I'm just like, I don't have the patience for this. You don't. I know exactly who it is already. Like, and because they fucked up. Like, they fucked up at some point. And no one else like understands it. No one can follow the same train of thought. And it's just not any fun. It's not any fun anymore.
Yeah. It's been years, but different pockets of people in my life have quietly started refusing to play the movie game with me. I don't know if it's actually called the movie game or where it comes from. We've always been calling it the movie game in my life everywhere that I've been. It's the simplest game in the world. You start off with a movie or an actor, The Green Mile, and then the next person has to say an actor in that movie, Tom Hanks, and then the next person has to say another movie that actor was in.
Yeah.
And on. You can't repeat movies, you can't repeat actors, you can't do sequels. Those are the only rules that we've ever played by. And I going back to high school, was playing this with my family, who can be very competitive with it, and like coworkers and other different groups of friends. And it reached a point one summer where no one wanted to play with me anymore because I just had a very good recall of movies and actors. It's not like a difficult skill. It's not, it's like barely brag worthy. Just be like, oh yeah, I've seen a lot of movies and I commit things to memory pretty easily. But I would also like, I was good enough at it as like, I imagine chess players are, where it stopped being about just playing the game to keep the game going. And then it was like, I know what I can say to lead this person into a trap where I will be able to name an actor or a movie that they've not heard of. And when you do that enough times and it becomes clear to the people that you're playing with that they know that the game lasts as long as I allow it to last, it's not fun to play with me anymore.
That you're suddenly God in the game.
Yeah.
That it's no longer fun for anyone else, because at some point you'll say, I'm bored of this one. Yeah. And then you'll name some fucking crazy Polish movie. That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. And that is also a game, it seems, almost strictly designed for you.
Yeah.
That's just how your brain works.
Yeah. That's great.
I've never played that.
I haven't played it in so long, and I want to play it again.
Okay. Well, I'll play it with you sometime.
Yeah. Not now.
No. But like, a few minutes.
Yeah.
Another one that was when I was younger, in college, I played a lot of, and in high school, I played a lot of foosball. And that's not really as much like a party game, but that's a game where now when like, we go to a bar or something and there's a foosball table and someone's like, let's play foosball. I'm like, this isn't going to be any fun for either one of us. I'm going to fucking destroy you.
Were you, did Lisa Foyles put up a good fight for you? Shout out Lisa Foyles. Yeah. She's a friend of the site and former All That cast member that just ended up in our circle in the crack.com days.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We went on a trip with her. We went on a trip to Wisconsin. She did we were like our 4AA into stand up. And then we also did some live sketches and stuff, but she came with us, I think, to do some sketches. And at this little college town, there was a foosball table and she's like, oh no. And I said, of all that, I played this every single day. And I was like, yeah, well, I played against some Swiss kids, so you're still not going to be better than me. And we played. And so it was really interesting because usually if you play in pairs, you're going to be strong at one thing, either offense or defense. And it's clear that both of us had been used to playing in pairs because she was very good at defense, like staggeringly good at defense. And I'm an offensive player. And so as we're like playing, it immediately becomes clear, like the ball is just on one end of the foosball table and it just stays there and no points are being scored or anything. Where it's just this huge standoff. And I was like, uh-oh. And she was kind of thinking, uh-oh, because she had relied on her defensive play to like get her up to the front. And I was the other direction. And so it became like really a very contentious game.
Yeah. It sticks out in my memory, not because I watched any gameplay, but it just sticks out as like the period of time where I just lost Soren to foosball for what felt like hours.
It was really, there was clearly somebody else at this bar who had just watched us perform and was like, you're my cracked guy. Like, you're the guy that I like. And he seemed like a very cool guy, but he was like, hey, I'm going to get you a drink. Like, what do you want? And like, he wanted to be like the dude there who was like, I'll show you around. And as soon as the foosball started happening, this person just drifted away into nothingness.
Settle for your second choice there, buddy. Have fun talking to Cody all night. He's sick.
He's perpetually sick. Yeah. Oh, boy, that was right. That was the trip where everyone started throwing up on the plane, basically, on the way there. And a bunch of people got some sort of airborne food sickness. It was very strange. So that's my party game. Have you ever played Secret Hitler? Have I played that with you?
I think I played it once in St. Louis Obispo with Michael and Abe and Michael's brother and a couple of other people. And it was one of those games that like started at 3 or 4 in the morning after it's like
a, that was Resistance on Michael's birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. We played Resistance then. Yeah. That was very fun.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll play Secret Hitler. At even, some cracked reunion, we'll play it.
Yeah. Resistance, I think, was I'm sure that the guys you're and women that you're playing with at work are even better at it, but even playing Resistance with the cracked team of like filmmakers and writers was like, this isn't fun for me. I'm not having a good time.
Wait, what I thought what you would have said, this is way more fun. What aspects of it didn't you like that everyone gets really into it?
Yeah, everyone's trying to mean big dick each other about it, and I'm just like, get out of here.
It is actually a game worth playing with other people, like family members and stuff, because all of a sudden you'll see somebody in a completely new light. If they're good at it out of nowhere, like if they just start playing it and all, they're just these great liars out of nowhere, you're like, oh shit, in my general life I have to keep an eye on you now.
Yeah
Why haven't so good
why haven't you been using this power,
or have you? Yeah. Ah.
So I got a quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe we're talking getting into this a little bit with various sickness talk, but have you ever found something embarrassing that you hesitated to admit, and then you admitted it, and then found out it was way more common than you thought? I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
There was a mouse in my house, and I was, to begin with, horrified and ashamed. This has never happened to me before, and I thought it was going to be something that I just never told anyone. I thought it would be something that I was going to solve and figure out, because like, even though I am very aware of how I keep my house, and it's a clean house with not a lot of food around, and you know, I do a good job staying on top of the hygiene of the house overall, it was still to me like, this is the lowest form of low. This is as bad as it gets in terms of vermin in your house. And I can't let anyone know, because then no one's going to want to hang out with me ever again, because I'm Pigpen. And
you invited a mouse into your house.
Right.
Yeah. And messes.
When I finally like started telling people, almost everyone to a person was like, yeah, we had that a little while back too. It was just like everyone in New Jersey was just like, yeah, it's the time of year. It gets cold. They start looking for warmth. So they come in, and like every friend I had was chiming in, was like, yeah, you got to make sure, you know, I thought I had one mouse, but it turns out it was multiple mice. And like, everyone has tips. Everyone has ideas. I texted my parents about it, and my dad was like, yeah, November, December, lay some traps, get rid of them. It stinks, but it's not the end of the world. They'll go away. Like everybody. And I immediately felt so much better about this. And I know that my takeaway from the experience should have been that I should share more things with more people to realize that things that freak you out are more common than you think. But instead, my takeaway is I'm going to turn this into content for the podcast. I didn't learn shit.
I still think having a mouse in your house is kind of gross.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't happen to me.
That's how people get hantavirus, Dan.
What is that?
I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, and we had this exact same exchange where you're like, what on earth is that? Hantavirus it's like a cousin of the Ebola virus. And it's mostly in the square states. It's like in Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and Utah, where in mouse feces, there's a virus called hantavirus that kicks up with the dust when that stuff like breaks down and gets all dehydrated, and it gets into your lungs, and then you die from it. Like, and you die a really terrible pulmonary death.
It's not the thing that makes me cough and sneeze for a month, right? Because then we've
not that thing. No.
Okay. Great.
I
will
do
tell
agree.
You, Soren, that the mouse situation has been resolved.
That's good. Oh, thank God. Oh, I was cringing in my seat.
Yeah.
When I went home to Colorado for the summer, I grew up in a log cabin out in the woods. And when you're out in the woods, there's a lot more of the fauna of nature kind of creep in on the house where they're like, oh, this is like a nice inviting place to live. And I was used to it. I was used to sitting in my living room at night watching television and just hearing traps going off in the house. Mm. Be like, oh, there's another one. But I didn't think that my wife was necessarily used to that. And so this last time that we were there, I went into the kitchen one night and I was in the pantry and I saw a mouse. I heard like rustling and I was like, what is that? And then I saw that there was a mouse trying to chew at the corner of a plastic bag that was full of food. And when it saw me, it fucked off because it was like, oh no, okay, I know how this goes. And it ran away. And then I just didn't tell my wife that I had seen a mouse. Like I told my parents sort of privately, but I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
That there was it wasn't even my house anymore, but I was still embarrassed about this being a house where like I'm from and mm-hmm. that we just deal with mice sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I get that. Go ahead.
It was tough. The things that my brain did the first time I saw the mouse dart across the floor, immediately my brain went, that's a mouse. And then my brain went, hold on, someone tell that guy to calm down. It can't be a mouse. We're not the kind of family that has mice. Maybe, let's see, maybe it was just a really big bug. Like, well, that's also bad. And then my brain was finally just like, maybe it was just like a trick of our eyes. It's like, we sound so fucking desperate right now. It's a mouse. What are we doing?
There was a thing I used to get embarrassed about before I realized that everyone, it like happened to everybody, was I would see like a naked woman and my junk would get hard. Like it would get stiff.
Just when you were a kid, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't anymore.
No.
I realized everybody grows out of it.
Yeah.
No, I have a lot of like parasite ones. Like one is, this was deeply embarrassing. Colleen started getting bit up by something and we didn't know what, back when we were just dating and living together. And then I found one day just like on her, I saw like what I thought was just a speck and I went to go brush it away and it jumped off of her. And I was like, what the fuck was that? And then finally did some more thorough examinations of the ground and everything and eventually got what jumped on me was a flea.
Oh.
And we didn't have pets, but we had fleas. Huh. And I was like, this is humiliating. Like, we have to go get a pet right now to explain this. we need an animal in the house or people are going to think that we're pig pens, that we're the dirtiest people in the world. You don't just have fleas unless you have an animal who's like bringing them in because they can't normally survive on people. What I found out was that in Los Angeles, and maybe this is true other places, is that there's a time of year where the fleas are just kind of out. And as you're walking around in the street, it's like late summer. Yet when you come home, you stand outside, take your shoes off. Because if you could look at your shoelaces and stuff, occasionally you'll just see like two or three fleas like jump out of your shoes from just walking around in the streets. Yes. And so it's so gross. And like they don't survive for a very long time in your house, but they do survive and they're hungry. And so she was getting bit up. I have, for some whatever reason, don't have the same reactions to parasitic bugs that she does. But it was clear that we had them because she kept getting bit and like bit in this one specific place in our house. And I was so, I didn't know like what to, she was like going to work. She's like, should I even go today? Look at my legs. I'm going to have to tell people what this is. And both of us were so deeply humiliated and mortified that we were the dirtiest humans in the world.
Yeah.
Oof. To this day, when I say other parasitic bugs, we also got bed bugs at one point.
I remember that.
In Santa Monica. And she was, to this day, she will not, there's certain people we're not allowed to tell that story to. I have to check in with her first to be like, can I tell them we got bed bugs? And some people should be like, no, we don't know them well enough yet. Okay. because she's embarrassed that we got them.
Yeah. And that's one that I haven't had them yet, thankfully, knock on wood. But that is one that I would immediately be very embarrassed to admit to anyone, even though I have total perfect recall of the summer where it seemed like everyone on both coasts was getting bed bugs. There was like a huge bed bug outbreak in New York and it was dominating everyone's lives. And then it happened again in Los Angeles around the same time. So like, I know how common it is and how it is not an indictment of the people who get the bed bugs, but it's still something that like, if I think I have bed bugs, my brain will do that same process where it's like, Let's think of some other things that it could be first.
Maybe it's a mouse. I hope it's a mouse.
Yeah, that was a deeply embarrassing one. And also just such a pain in the ass too.
Yes.
And it would have been even worse because she does get such a bad allergic reaction to mosquitoes and these bugs that suck your blood that immediately we knew. And immediately I started searching the bed and it's like scouring it, and which makes you feel crazy because you can't, they're so tiny and they don't even live in your bed. Like they hide in light sockets and shit. And so what I did was I eventually found a shell of one and looked it up online. And I was like, okay, I know what this is. We have bed bugs. But had it just been me living there and I was just getting eaten alive and I never knew, they would have just kept, the numbers would have just kept growing and growing. And it creeps me out to even think about it. Her grandmother in Tucson had them in her, the old folks home that she was staying in. And this is after we got them. We went and visited her and she would like want us to come up to her room. We'd eat lunch with her down in the like cafeteria area. And then she'd be like, well, come on up. And we were always just like, I just can't. There's no way I'm going in that room because we know what it's like to have bed bugs. And we know what it's like if just one of them gets on us and follows us.
All right, Soren, if we got time, I got another quick question for you.
Wow. Wait. Two from you and an intro. Look at the heavy lifting
and
from
I'm
Daniel.
Sick.
Right up before vacation too. Yeah. I should be doing more. I'm realizing now that I didn't do enough. Okay, go ahead and ask your quick question. I'll see if I can answer with a really good answer.
This comes from the newsletter from my favorite fitness writer. Her name is Casey Johnston. She writes the newsletter. She's a beast.
Fucking what? You have a favorite fitness letter?
A fitness writer? Yeah. Casey Johnston, she used to run a column, I think it's called like Notes from a Swole Woman or something like that, Thoughts of a Swole Woman. And now she just has an independent newsletter called She's a Beast, talks about fitness. She does a lot of kind of lifting that I don't do. She's really big on bulking up and doing like powerlifting, really, really heavy weights, lifting, eating like a big, beautiful horse and lifting very large weights. I'm just really drawn to the way she writes about fitness. I think it's very accessible and she's a good writer who is trapped in the body of like a competitive powerlifter. Anyway,
okay.
This came from her newsletter recently. In his Juilliard days, Adam Driver famously could be often found standing astride the world, literally holding a gallon of water in one hand and a whole chicken in the other. Reportedly, Driver did this every day, not for 40 days, but for 4 years. It seemed to be the main thing people remember about him from that time. How many people do you remember from your college days and why? That's end quote. That's how Casey phrases it. That's a good way into the question for me of memorable people from your college that weren't like friends of yours that you didn't interact with, but just like the characters at your college, if you had any.
Yeah, I have so many logistical questions for Adam Driver. Like, how is he even eating the whole chicken? Like, you need to separate it. You need to like pull the legs off and things like that. You can't just bite into a chicken like an apple.
Yeah, it's a pretty rich, dense text just to get into this question about memorable people in college. It's like, you know, all that stuff that you just like very quickly learned about Adam Driver. Forget all that. Move past it.
do you have something to start?
I do, yeah. There was a kid, I think his name was Frankie. He was in my quad sophomore year, and every single day he wore no shirt. He wore American flag basketball shorts. He had a big old belly and he had a giant afro, and he could be spotted every day outside just standing and looking around at people, just cool as a cucumber, just presenting himself to the world. I would see some people would talk to him every once in a while. He would do a lot of what's up nods to people, and mostly was just like there, just like, this is me, this is how I dress. You can imagine
presenting.
That you can imagine that in high school I couldn't be this, but I wanted to be the whole time. And now that I'm away from high school, I could finally take my final form, what I was always meant to do and who I was always meant to be, and just stand here and like present myself to the world. I think my favorite piece of comedy in the history of time is winter of my sophomore year, seeing Frankie in the dead of winter, freezing outside, American flag basketball trunks, no shirt, scarf.
Yeah, I got to keep that neck warm.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I feel like that guy's at my gym right now. There's a guy at my gym named, isn't it, different name, but his name's Ray, but he's somebody who's like a real chatterbox at the gym who just wants to be noticed. That's all he wants. He just wants to be noticed. He's not like a super yoked guy or anything. He just wants you to acknowledge him. And so like you'll be working out on something, he'll sidle up to the thing next to you and just try to make eye contact, like as much as possible, without actually saying a thing. And sometimes doing like some sighing, just getting you to look at all so that he can break the ice. And I know Ray because I looked at one point and now we're friends. And I had the most confusing interaction with him 2 days ago where I went to the gym and he was like, "Hey, did you have a good Thanksgiving?" And I was like, "Yeah, it was really good." He's like, "Oh, me too. I ate a lot." And I was like, "Yeah, I did too. I really did it. Like I ate a lot of food." And then he goes, "Well, you got to be careful with that because you know gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins." And I was like, "Well, okay." Fucking Ray, you just told me you ate a bunch.
Yeah.
Get off your high horse.
I didn't even really eat that much, Ray. I'm just trying to be normal.
I'm just trying to be nice to you.
Mirroring you.
I'm giving you nothing extra here. I'm telling you the same thing you told me.
Yeah.
But he was like very serious about how gluttony was one of the seven deadly sins. And I learned a lot about Ray that day. But yeah, I did have people in my college. There was one guy in my the quad below us who, in my sophomore year, who wore a bathrobe every day, wore it to class, mm-hmm. wore it in the quad, wore it at the dining hall. Like that was going to be his thing he was bathrobe guy. But he would also do this thing occasionally where if you were in his quad, he would say, he would like whatever he was doing, playing Mario Kart or whatever, he'd pause it and he'd go, "Well, I got to go jerk off." And then he'd just leave and go masturbate somewhere after proudly announcing it.
Mamma mia.
Yeah. And everyone else was like, "Don't just say it. What are you doing, man?" But he would, I don't know, like the impulse wasn't clear. Like nothing about it was clear to any of us other than every once in a while. It wasn't like the same time every day. It wasn't an alarm going off or something. He was just like, "And now I will do this thing."
Man.
We also had these girls.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
There are some people who, as soon as they get their first bit of freedom, they really don't know what to do with it. It's truly,
it's heart of darkness, man.
The dog catching the garbage truck successfully. It's Coyote with a Roadrunner to be like, "What is it? Now what?" Yeah. Okay, maybe I'll be bathrobe guy. Maybe what's an adult supposed to do? An adult's supposed to, it means we can dress however we want, right? And we tell each other when we're doing adult things, like, what's the most adult thing that I, a 19-year-old, can think of? I'm going to jerk off! Excuse me!
It was wild. And do it regularly. But also, there's part of you that's like, can I be that open about it? is that what we're all doing now? No, just Ed's doing it? Okay, well, forget it. Then forget it.
Right. No, I'm still the guy who's also playing Mario Kart. Who's just like, "Oh, I don't do that. I'm going to save it for marriage."
What?
Damn it.
What is that?
I'm also wrong.
Save it for marriage. Sorry, I stepped on your joke. It shouldn't have. That's a great one. We also have these girls, women. I don't know. I'm going to say girls. Okay. That feels right. We have these girls in my college who everyone called the Barbies. I don't, to this day, don't know their real names. They were just what you would, they were platinum blonde. They wore little tiny skirts and they were just like the mean girls, you know, like they're what you'd expect mean girls to look like. But for whatever reason, in the dining hall, Johnson Student Center, there was a cafeteria and then there was like a patio area. And in the patio area, it was enclosed, like there was a roof on it, but these pigeons would get in there constantly. And
this story has twists.
Yeah. On multiple occasions, these girls got shit on by pigeons. Like the pigeons just hated this group of girls. I saw them once shit in their food, and then another time witnessed one just get shit on her shoulder and her head, like kind of like this long drooping one. And I was blown away. Nobody else is having this problem, but for whatever reason, these mean girls, the pigeons were like, oh, there they are. There they are. And excellent. I'll say it was somewhat satisfying to see them get shit on.
I thought this was before the pigeon twist. I thought this was going to be a shared experience of ours, because another memorable duo from my college, they were these two platinum blonde, very attractive, identical twin sister girls who, identical, completely identical, and lived together in the dorm. And I didn't realize they were twins for a while because I just kept seeing what I thought was one of them several times a day, sometimes in different outfits, and I wasn't paying enough attention. And then finally, one night after a party, saw the two of them together, standing next to each other. And I was like, what is it? Are you twice? And they're like, yes, we are. I was like, man, that's a... They're like, we know. They're like fully aware of this, of that they're both very attractive, and there's two of them, and they would wear like matching Playboy Bunny Halloween costumes together. I was like, you girls just... You know exactly what you're presenting to the world, and kudos, hooray for you!
Yeah, you steer into the skin, man. Once you learn what your thing is, you lean in, and everyone feels much more comfortable around you. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, that's their thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was surprising. I never really talked to them much. They might have been very nice people, but in my mind, I was like, no, those are the mean girls. Like those are the Barbies. Yeah. Never bothered to learn any of their names.
And then we don't know their names. They're always covered in shit, and it feels good. They're so mean. God, they're mean.
And then there were just stories. Like people would tell stories about, like, oh yeah, the Barbies got shit on the cafeteria again today. I don't know what it was. The pigeons just hated them.
Man, too much fun.
I have a question for you, just real quick, Dan. In your college, did you have a shit person? Did you have a person who at some point shit themselves or got really drunk and pooped somewhere they weren't supposed to poop, and they became legend? And like from that point on, that person was just like the shit person.
We had a kid in high school who shit himself, and I'm not going to say his name here, but I'll remember it until the day I fucking die, that he shit himself in March in the middle of a school day.
Yeah. It's like it's like watching somebody get hit by a car. It's just like a thing that sticks with you when you find out somebody shit themselves.
Yes.
There was a girl in our college who did it, did it twice. Did it at parties. Like she got very, very drunk and then shit herself. And from that point on, like she was a pariah. Like there at one point I had a friend who, she was older than us. Both of these events had happened before we got there, but legend had carried to the next generation. And at one point a friend of mine started kind of like casually seeing her, and everyone was like, no, you can't, that's shit girl.
Yeah.
And looking back, like, what, that poor girl, man, that was just it for her.
Yeah. Forever. The kid who shit himself in high school at one point, a year or two later, got those shoes that have like a sneaky like roller skate in them, so you can like suddenly start wheeling. Didn't matter. Really? You're not skate shoes kid. You're the kid who shit himself. What are you talking about? What are you doing? Save your money.
You can't reinvent yourself at this point. Yeah.
Cure cancer and you'll be the guy who shit himself and cured cancer. That's okay.
At the time, you don't care, because like nobody else matters in your mind. It's just you. So you're like, yeah, that's shit girl. Like that's she's, you can't. No, don't talk to her. And then looking back on it, you're like, oh, man, what a rough existence it must have been.
Yeah.
And I don't know, even when you leave college, I wonder if those stories follow you.
Well, shit girl, if you're shit girl, Barbies, or shit kid, if any of you are listening, please write into the show.
Yeah. Tell us where you are. I want to make sure you're okay.
Oh, wait, Soren.
Not the Barbies. Fuck them.
Yeah.
They're so mean.
I got another question for you, Soren. I'm so sorry, but I feel like I'm a worse friend than Ray. I didn't ask you, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, I didn't ask you either. This is on both of us.
Okay.
I had a great Thanksgiving. It was really nice. Colleen's parents came into town. We made them food. The kids were great. Everybody had a great time, and the food was delicious. It was just great. What about you?
Yeah, it was great. I went to my brother and sister-in-law's house. A bunch of kids were there. Aunt was there. Cousin was there. Ate good food. Hung out. No complaints.
Great. Love to hear it. Love to hear Thanksgiving that goes off successfully.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then that's our show.
All right, cool.
Thank you for listening to Quick Question. This is Quick Question, and you already know that. This is, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow Daniel at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. You can follow Quick Question at QQ_Soren and Dan. We also have an email address, which is QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. We have a sound engineer, an editor, a producer named Gabe Harder. You won't find him anywhere. He's a ninja. And we have a Patreon, which is Patreon/QuickQuestion. And of course, our theme song, if you enjoyed that, that's by Me Rex. And you can find more of their music on Spotify or wherever you get your music from, but also merex.bandcamp.com. Okay, bye.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you, all right? I want to hear your thoughts, I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, all right? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.